Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. We're starting a brand new series. It's only 2 weeks long about parenting. It's actually called Being a Parent or a Kid. I want to talk to both parents and kids today. If you don't know, I actually have 6 kids of my own, and my wife and I have done foster care, so we've had like over 60 kids in foster care. I have had a lot of kids, but you're not going to be here to listen to my advice. We're actually going to open up the Bible, see what the Bible says, because God knows a lot more about being a parent than any of us in this room. Would you hear that? So we're going to listen to what he has to say about it. Parenting's weird, man. One of my kids, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. It could have been one of the foster kids. It could have been one I have right now. But one of my kids was playing on the floor. She was about a year old, maybe like 9 months old. And I saw that she had something in her mouth. And so, you know, if you got a 9-month-old and you didn't give him any food, you go over there and you check, right? So I grab her little face. I squeeze her little cheeks. And she opens her mouth up. And I see some like chocolate chips in there. And I'm like, Meadow, did you give the baby chocolate chips? She's like, no. And I'm like plucking them out. I'm like, what is it? It was little poops. Little poopies. And I'm like, what on earth? And I start to gag. I'm like, oh, that's disgusting. And so I'm like, Meadow, come here. And I rush the baby to the sink. I'm spraying her mouth out and I'm trying not to puke. And my wife is laughing. She thinks it's funny that I'm about to throw up and the baby's eating poop. That's just kind of how raising kids goes. Jim Gaffigan, he's a comedian. He has a lot of kids and he has said this. Every night before I get my 1 hour of sleep, I have the same thought. Well, that's a wrap on another day of acting like I know what I'm doing. I wish I were exaggerating, but I'm not. Most of the time, I feel entirely unqualified to be a parent. I call these times being awake. I feel that. Parents, we fake knowing what we're doing most of the time. It's actually true. Like, we're fakers because we've never been in this situation before. I've got 6 kids, a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, 17-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 13-year-old. And I was talking to like my 18-year-old a couple months ago. I made a decision that he disagreed with. And I was like, look, man, I don't know that it's the right decision. I've never been in this situation before. I've never had a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old before. This is my first time. And so I don't know that it's the right decision, but it's the decision we're making. And the funniest thing is, I've had parents tell me, like when they have their first child, being a parent is so natural. I'll know how to take care of my child. All they need is love and nurture. And that's how you know they only have one kid. Because only a few months later, they'll pick up the phone and they'll be like, help me, Pastor Jeff, help me. This is not my minion. This is a gremlin and he's eating my soul for breakfast. And like seriously, we love our kids. You love your kids. And if you have children, I know your heart aches. And the reason it aches and the reason it's so difficult is because you love them. If you didn't love them, it wouldn't be difficult because you wouldn't care what happens. But the reason it's so hard is because not only do you want to do it right, but you want to do it the right way because you love them and you want them to turn out well. And I know for a fact that God has brought some of you these little humans and there's nothing more than you want in life than to help them be happy and whole and mature to be the people God wants them to be. But I also know a lot of you are frustrated. Some of you are at the end of your rope. Maybe you just had a baby and you want to know how to raise this little human for the next 20 years. And by the way, kids, also I'm talking to teens too. This series is called Being a Parent or Their Kid because I want to talk to you as well. About half of the time today, I'm going to talk to you. Most of this stuff should teach you what a parent should be like, but it's also going to teach you as a kid how you should respond. Now, if you're here without any kids today, you don't have any kids, that's okay. There's a few reasons you want to listen today. First of all, you are going to have friends who have kids who will need empathy and sometimes advice. And just because you don't have kids doesn't mean you can't give advice. Anyone who says, well, you can't give me advice because you've never been there is just stupid, okay? I mean, sometimes you can see the car wreck happening and know what should happen and you don't actually have to be in the car, right? Isn't that, would you agree with that? Like, if you turn right, you're gonna crack. Okay, you didn't have to be in the car. So you can help people, even if you don't have kids yourself, but you're gonna be in growth groups with people with kids and all that. But also, this is gonna teach you a lot about God. Because God is our Heavenly Father. And everyone needs to hear this because you're going to see not only how you should be as a parent and how you should have been parented. And some of you weren't parented very well. And so you're going to see how this affected your life. You're also going to see what God is like and what he expects of you as his child. So this is important for multiple reasons. Please grab your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. If you've never read the Bible before, it's actually pretty easy. Just grab the Bible. This is in the chair in front of you, right underneath that chair, and turn to page 950. Page 950. Once you get to that page, you're going to see a big old six. The big numbers in the Bible are chapter numbers. So that big six is Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1-4. Now, there's only four verses right here. The Bible doesn't have like a, here's chapter 1 on parenting. Here's chapter 2 on parenting. There's just a few sentences here. But what the Bible does is use parenting as an example of one of the things Paul was talking about. Paul wrote this book. And we're going to read this in context in just a minute. But let's start by reading the parenting stuff, starting at verse 1 there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, the word for father, by the way, keep this open. Don't close your Bible yet. We're going to come back to this. The word for fathers right there, by the way, this part of the Bible is written in Greek. This actually can refer to fathers and or mothers, just parents in general. It was probably written specifically to fathers, but mothers, you can also take this advice. Now, when you're studying the Bible, if you want to understand what you're reading better, rules number 1, 2, and 3 about how to study the Bible are context, context, context. You always got to know the context. So to understand what's happening right here, we're going to actually back up a page. So go ahead and turn it back one page, and you'll see chapter 4 over here. The guy who wrote this, his name's Paul. And he didn't just write this family advice out of nowhere. He wasn't just writing a letter to these people in the town called Ephesus. And he's like, oh, by the way, you all suck at parenting. So here's 3 ideas. Like, no, he got to this for some reason. What is the reason? We're going to read chapter 4, verse 31. So you find the 4, go all the way down to that little tiny 31. And we're going to read through chapter 5, verse 2. Get rid of all bitterness, Paul says. Oh, anyone been bitter in your house? All right, get rid of all rage. Wow, ever have a 2-year-old? Does that apply? You know, actually, I'm convinced that whoever came up with the phrase terrible twos didn't have a 3-year-old yet. That's what I think, all right? But could this stuff apply to being parents? Yes, but this is for all Christians, all right? I'm gonna start there at verse 31 again. Get rid of all bitterness, he's talking to us, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Right, this is his instructions to us. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, because we're children of God, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, keep that open. You can check what I'm saying and whether it's true, because this is chapter 4 into chapter 5. And he's talking about be loving, be kind. Don't have rage in your house. Don't have anger. Walk in love. What does it mean to walk in love? It means every time you take a step, you're stepping in a way that is loving towards the people, towards your neighbors who you don't like. Towards your boss, who doesn't like you. Towards your friends, who are weird. Right? You're walking in love. Every time you do something, you're trying to live like Jesus would live. Not with rage, not with anger. But this also applies to parenting. How so? Well, you keep reading all the way through chapter 5. We even get to verse 21, all the way towards the end of chapter 5. And he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So because we revere Jesus Christ, because we want to honor him, we're going to submit to each other. Now, before we even get to the parenting, this is the principle that the Bible's talking about. Let's write this down. You got an outline in that chair in front of you as well. You can write this down. The principle before parenting, the love of Jesus, which we follow, combines sacrifice and holiness. It's also about compassion, forgiveness and submission, putting others' needs ahead of our own. So this is for every relationship. I'm gonna ask you, what relationships does this apply to? And you're gonna say, every relationship. What relationship does this apply to? Every relationship, right? Compassion and love like Jesus. Yes, it applies parent to child, also child to parent. We love like Jesus loved. We want to be compassionate people. We don't want to be angry people. We don't want to be bitter towards our kids. We want to be forgiving towards them and sacrifice for each other, just like Jesus sacrificed his life for us. We want to submit to each other. You and me submit to each other. We submit to people who are doing us wrong. This is the Christian way of life. Okay, that's what Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 is about. And then Paul gives three examples of how it works. He gives the example of husbands and wives. He gives the example of slaves and masters. And he gives the example of parents and children. So this whole idea of love and kindness and no anger and no bitterness, the reason he starts talking about parenting here is because parenting and being a child is one example of how this works. Are you on track with me right now? So this section of the Bible isn't just about parenting. Parenting is an example. Being a child is an example of how love and patience works. And let's be honest, it is hard to have patience with your kids. And kids, it's hard to have patience with your parents. I remember one time I had a kid. It was a foster kid. He was about 2 years old. And when you do foster care, you are not allowed to spank. Got that? Not allowed to spank. But this kid was being bad. He was naughty. And I was like, listen, you can't do that anymore. And he was like, and I'm just like, you better stop talking back. And he didn't obey. And like, he threw a toy. And I'm just thinking, man, if I could just spank this kid just once, it would change everything. You know, I start not thinking clearly, you know. Like, have you ever been so mad you stop thinking clearly? Right? I'm just like, there's steam coming out of my ears. I'm like, you better watch it, buddy, or I'm going to spank you. And like, he's like, yeah, yeah, spank me. And I just, he does one more thing. And I break. And I grab his arm. I'm like, you're getting a spanking right now. I go around the corner so nobody's going to see it. And I grab his pants and his diaper and I pull it down and I got a handful of poop. I honestly think that was God. I looked up and I was like, okay, I get it, right? Because there was nothing about compassion there, was there? I didn't try to figure out what was going on in the heart of the kid. I didn't want to sacrifice. I didn't want him to even submit to me. I didn't want to forgive him. I wanted to punish his little butt. I wanted him to be a robot. But this is not how Christians treat anyone, much less their kids. The interesting thing is that there's a bigger picture here than just parenting versus being a child. It's about how we all treat each other, including how we relate to God. Like when we pray, we say, our Father, who's in heaven, we're talking to God as a parent. Let's write this down. This teaches us about God's nature as a parent and how we as children of God should respond to God. Because aren't we God's children if we believe? Isn't God our Father? So when we read scriptures about how the ideal parent should be, we should say, wow, that is what God's like. And when we read scriptures about how the ideal child should be, instead of just pointing at our kids, we should point at ourselves and say, that's what I should be like for God. Are these verses about actual children and actual parenting? Yes, we're going to apply it to us as parents and children. But it doesn't matter if you're a parent or not, because every verse in here is legitimately about you and God as well. Now that we understand that, let's go verse by verse and break down what we already read. Okay, we started in Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children. So children, I'm going to talk to you first. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, what does it say it is when children obey? It says that it is right for children to obey. Now, this is an interesting word because I know some parents in here be like, dang right, it's right. That child better obey. Good sermon, right? When we're thinking about what it means to be right, sometimes we think about healthy. Like, okay, if they do it right, it'll be healthy for them and they'll grow up to be really nice people. But the word healthy is not what the Bible used here. The Bible says when a child obeys, it's right. And the word right, this was written in Greek, and the Greek word for right doesn't mean healthy. It means that which is exactly how it should be. Like, if you were to wake up in the morning and someone had made you breakfast with 6 pounds of bacon, and there's a bird outside your window chirping, and the sun was shining, but your air conditioning was set to 68. Like, it's just as it should be, right? And that's how the world should work. And like, when a child obeys a parent, that's exactly how the world should work. Let's write this down. Children are to obey. It is exactly how things should be when a child obeys a parent. It's not just that it's healthy, it's how the world was designed to be. And there's a difference between being good, healthy, and kind, and things that are proper and right in order. It is the way it should be for a child to obey. So children, you are supposed to obey. That is how God has designed the world. And respecting parents was such a big deal to God that in Old Testament times, he made a law about it. This is Exodus 21. Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. Ooh. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. We don't follow that law anymore. In first service, I had my 10-year-old, my 9-year-old was sitting right up here in front, and I read that. I said, now, do we follow that verse anymore? And he goes, no, really loudly. Like, it's a good thing we don't follow it because we'd probably half of us be dead, right? Like, so many of us have cursed our parents. Why would God make this law? Well, because the purpose of this is to reflect the relationship between God and us as well. It's not just healthy for you to obey God. It is how things should be. It is right to obey God, and it is morally wrong to disobey God. There is a moral problem. The universe isn't functioning the way it was supposed to function when you don't do what God says to do. You know, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them everything they wanted, except there was one tree there and had fruit on it. And God said, you can do anything here except don't eat that one fruit, because if you do, you'll die. And what did they choose? Did they choose love and submission to God? No, they chose death. They chose death. It was wrong then to disobey God, and it's wrong now to disobey God. And it's wrong for children to disobey parents. It's not just unhealthy, it's actually wrong. So obey your parents, or kids, you'll have problems, just like Adam and Eve had problems that led towards death. But it's more than just obedience. There's another word here as well. It actually says in the next verse, honor your father or mother. Everybody say the word honor with me. Honor. Wow, that's an entirely different subject. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment that comes with a promise. Now, what does it mean to honor your parents? Well, it means valuing them in a way. Every adult here, you've had bosses, or kids, you've had teachers who you don't like. They drive you insane. And you can actually obey them without honoring them, can't you? Teacher might say, go do that homework. And you're like, yeah, I'll do the homework. Stupid teacher. And you're talking bad about them while you're obeying them. Honoring means not just obey, but you value them. You have obedience the same time you're trying to honor them as a person. You revere them. In a way, you're kind of in awe of who they are, and you show up by not just how you treat them, but how you think about them. Teens, you have to honor your parents by the way you think about them. It's not just obey what they say. It's, hey, when you're obeying them and they tell you to do something, do you walk away and you think to yourself, my parents are so dumb. They're probably the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. Like, that's not an honoring way to think. How do you talk about your parents? How do you talk about them with your friends at school? Do you talk trash on your parents when your parents aren't around? Because how you think and how you talk shows whether you honor them or not. Let's write this down. Children should honor their parents, meaning they should value them and show it by how they treat their parents in the ways they think and act and speak. And kids, it don't matter if your parents are awesome or not. I think LeBron James is awesome because he can dunk and play basketball like nobody else, but I don't honor him. I don't walk around thinking, I got to be careful how I talk about LeBron James. I want to honor him as a human being. Like, no, like, you can think someone's awesome without honoring them. But your parents, whether you think they're awesome or not, God requires you to honor them. It doesn't matter if your parents are cool or not, smart or not, friendly or not. You must honor them even when you think they're wrong. And they're going to be wrong sometimes. But God says, obey and honor. Appreciate who they are. Pay attention to the things they care about and be amazed by how they live and when they make good decisions. And you know, even if you have crappy parents, because a lot of you probably had not very good parents, even bad parents make the right decision periodically. So take note of that and honor the fact that, wow, I think my dad actually got it right for once. And honor that. You know, some of you don't have Christian parents, and you still need to honor those parents who don't love the Lord. I do advise that if your parents are really bad parents and they don't love the Lord, that you find some people in your life who are good parents, not to take your parents' place, but who you can look at and say, wow, this is what a parent relationship should look like, and I want to be like that when I grow up so that you can follow a better example. That's okay to do, and that's a good way to handle it. So let's keep going on this verse here. All right, kids, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. It comes with something. If you do this so that it may go well with you, that means you can have a good life, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You're going to do two things. You're going to enjoy life, and you're going to enjoy long life. Fact, people who honor their parents live longer. People who honor their parents enjoy their life more. What does it mean to enjoy long life? A guy named John MacArthur, he wrote something down about it. I like the way he says it. The command, honor your father and mother, is twofold. That it may go well with you relates to the quality of life. And that you may live long on earth relates to the quantity of life promised. The original promise was to Israel and involved many tangible, physical, earthly blessings. But Paul's reference here, what we read, shows that it also extends to believers today. Though its blessings may not always be tangible, a family where children and parents live in mutual love and submission will have rich, God-given harmony and satisfaction that other families can never know. Did you hear this? If the parents love Jesus and the children love Jesus, you can have a peace and a harmony in that house that other families will never experience. This is a good promise. Children, you should obey and honor your parents because it's right. And because when you do so, you'll enjoy long life. Let's write this down. This is the practical application for the kids. So, first of all, decide to obey, number one. And number two, decide to honor God like a child should with their parent. And here's a suggestion so this is for everybody. Now, the kids do it with their parents. Here's a suggestion. Write down an area where I don't want to obey. Kids, I'm sure there's areas where you don't want to obey. And write how God might be trying to bring you a blessing through his command and how it would honor God to obey. So if you're an adult here, I want you to talk about this with God. Where have you disobeyed God and where should you honor God? And how might you be blessed if you obeyed God? If you're a kid, I want you to think about a way you disobeyed or dishonored your parent. Write it down and ask yourself, how could I have more blessings if I actually obeyed and honored my parent in that way? All right, we got some questions here. And you can send questions to ask@revo.church. How do you honor a parent that's a sociopath or alcoholic? Got another one. How do you honor a parent who disowns you and your children and grandchild? Someone else said, I don't think I could honor a parent that's a child molester. How do you honor your parents who are emotionally abusive? Apparently we got a lot of issues going on, huh? A lot of us were maybe raised in difficult homes, or maybe you had a kid with someone who's not a very good parent. Look, people aren't just one thing. I've done some pretty crappy stuff in my life. You ever done some pretty crappy stuff in your life? And the crappy Jeff isn't the same as good Jeff. I've also done some good stuff. Would you agree that you've done some pretty bad stuff and some pretty good stuff? I remember watching a documentary one time about a guy who was in prison. And he was in prison for life. He might have been on death row. And what struck me was someone asked what it was like to be on death row waiting for their execution. And he said, how would you like every day of your life to be about nothing except the worst thing you've ever done? I thought, wow. And so what we can do when we have parents who have done evil, wicked things, is as much as we can part them out and say, what they did was evil. What they did was wicked. But they were also, at one time, born as a baby, created in the image of God. And they did occasionally make some good decisions. And I can honor who they are, created in the image of God, without saying that anything they did was actually the right thing. I can say that most of what they did was wrong, but they still created me. And every once in a while, they gave me some good advice. Someone in between services asked me about a parent of one of their kids who had died and is probably in hell. And she's talking about, how do I not rejoice that he's in hell? Like, how do we honor him? And you know, you can honor the fact that this person created you. You can honor the fact that they procreated and created you, an awesome person, even if almost everything else they did was wrong. So you gotta part those things apart. And then if your parent is still alive and you even have a relationship with them, sometimes the most honoring thing you can do is hold them accountable for their actions. If your parent is an alcoholic and treats you and your siblings poorly, one of the most loving things you can do as a child is to say, I love you and I wanna honor you. That's what I'm gonna tell you right now. I think your drinking is tearing our family apart. When a child says that to a parent at the right time and in the right way, let me say that again. When a child says that to a parent in the right way and at the right time, it can be pretty powerful. So you can also bring accountability to your parents. And sometimes that's really the most honoring thing you can do for them. All right. How about the older you get, the smarter your parents were. I think that's in general true. I don't know about you, but I know when I was like 16, 17, like sometimes I was like, man, you're so stupid, Mom. I don't know why you think that. And I was like, even in my 20s, like in my early 20s, I called my parents once. I was like, hey, I'm buying a car on a lease. I'm going to lease it because it's a lot cheaper. And they're like, Jeff, I don't think a lease is a good idea because you don't actually own the car. And I was like, you're against me. And they're like, we're not against you. And I like hung up. I was super rude. And then 5 years later, the company's like, so now you have to buy the car because you don't own it. I'm like, dang it. And now I'm 47. And I'm like, hey, Dad, what should I do for the next 24 hours? Can you give me a minute by minute breakdown, please? Like, yeah, I want to know. A couple more questions here, then we'll keep going. As an adult, what does it look like to still honor our mothers and fathers? That's great. It's different when you're an adult, but you still have to honor them. You don't necessarily, the obey part doesn't track necessarily, but the honor part does. So again, the way you think about them, the way you talk about them is a big deal. If you're thinking about your parents, and every time you think about your parents, you're like, they're so stupid. Like, that's not very honoring. But you think about them like, well, okay, they made some mistakes, but what did they do that was right? Like, that's a more honoring way to think of them, right? And so if you're an adult, but actually when I said sometimes you can hold your parents accountable, I was actually thinking of adult children when I said that. So sometimes you can hold your. How do you honor your parents when they give you a 1 hour screen time on your phone? Which one of my kids sent this in? The best thing you can do is say, gee, Dad, there's some wisdom there that I don't understand right now, but I appreciate you protecting me from the dangers of the internet. All right. And other reasons which you know about, which I'm not going into right now. Okay, so that's all good and well, but we already know now we should obey God. This whole thing has been about how do we obey God as God's children, but let's talk about being parents now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the, there's two things here that are really important, in the training, and number two, the instruction of the Lord. I'm gonna read this part of the verse, and I want you to shout out training, and I want you to shout out instruction. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Now, again, this is to fathers, but it's to all parents in general. Sometimes this Greek word can even mean mentors. So the two main words we're going to focus on are training and instruction, because those are the two main ideas here. But this idea that Paul wrote to Christians 2,000 years ago would have been mind-blowing. If someone said, how should you parent your children? And they said, you should train and instruct them after giving a whole lesson about love and patience, they would have thought you were crazy. Because back then, 2,000 years ago, there's a guy named Seneca. He was a Roman politician, and he said, we slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, children born weak or deformed, we drown. Parents, especially fathers, had absolute authority in their homes. If they didn't like a child, death. And they wouldn't get in trouble because it was the father's right to beat or kill their child. Nowadays, we don't allow child abuse. I mean, unless the child's in the womb, then we can kill it, whatever. But the whole Roman world expected fathers to kill children or to beat them. And Paul says, do not even exasperate them. Don't even make them go, oh. But don't forget this section, right? It's love, sacrifice, compassion, forgiveness. And Christian fathers and mothers are supposed to treat their children with that same type of love, compassion, forgiveness. Historical fact. I don't know if you knew this or not, but children were not considered sweet little bundles of joy until Christianity came about. Did you know that? That's a Christian idea. Most cultures that were never affected by Christianity, they would do whatever they wanted to their children. Kill them if they wanted to. But it's not just love that you should offer. We in America, we know we should love our kids. And this is extremely important. What does the verse say? I'm going to put it up here with a blank. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training. We've got to train them and instruction of the Lord. We've got to instruct them. Write this down. Parents shouldn't just be overly harsh, but love their child. But at the same time, they train their child. Yes, kids need love. We know they need love, but they also need training. And most people fall too far on one side. They're either a trainer and disciplinarian, or they're a lover and forgiver. And usually those people marry each other. And if you're a single parent, I know how it goes. One day you're like, I love you, I forgive you. And then the next day you're like, I wish I could go 2,000 years ago to Rome because I want to beat you, right? And like you go back and forth sometimes. So we got to be thinking about not just love and forgiveness and bubbles and anger. We want to be thinking about we are trainers of children. Follow me on this? You are a trainer. What kind of training? All kinds. Let's start with potty training. Okay, it's an interesting word, training. When you potty train a child, what do? You teach them how. You discipline if they do it wrong. You instruct them and you correct them. So like you might teach them, okay, so this is a toilet and this is how you use it and this is how you aim if you're a boy or whatever. You go through the potty training thing. You might discipline and you're thinking, when would you discipline a kid during potty training? Listen, Johnny, if you leave your poopies all over the floor again so that your sister's eating them, right? You instruct them, you correct them. No, don't sit on the toilet like this. You're backwards, right? So training is a parental goal. You want to be a trainer. What other kinds of training should you do? Social training. You need to teach your kids how to interact with their peers properly. Social training. You need to help your kids learn to respect their teachers and those in authority. They need to be trained to know how to do that. But also, they need to be trained how to hear what their teachers say and analyze it in the right way, because not every teacher in their school is going to be a follower of Jesus. They're going to have some teachers who teach them bad things, and your kids need to be trained how to analyze that. Now, fortunately, I think in Salina and Solomon and those around here, we're really blessed with some great schools. I think we got some amazing teachers and faculty, but not every teacher is a full follower of Jesus. You got to train your children to honor their teachers, but also to analyze what they're hearing. You need to train your kids to think through their own impulses, because they're going to have impulses just like you to do the wrong thing, and they need to know how to handle that. You need to train your child to drive a car. Please train your child to drive a car. You need to train your child what sex is, not just how to do it, but when and why and what's appropriate and what level of touch is appropriate before they get married. You need to train your child what biological sex is so that they don't get confused. Because if you don't train them, the world will train them. If you don't, the world will. When my kids were little, I would tell the boys, "We are boys." And they'd be like, "We are boys." Right? And they'd be like, "I'm a boy." And that is awesome. And we'd wrestle. And I'd say to the girls, "You are girls." And they'd be like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "I love girls. Girls are the best." You know, like, and we'd talk about them. I'd remind them and train them. That's what you are. Two main words here again, train and instruct. All the time, you got to be training them. What does that mean? Teaching, disciplining, correcting, to be comfortable in their own skin, because society will tell them they're not comfortable in their own skin. And society will tell them, if you're not comfortable in your own skin, that must mean you're really not the gender you are. Listen, you got to train them how to deal with it when they're not comfortable in their body, because let's face it, how many of us ever experienced discomfort in our body between the ages of 10 and 16? Oh my gosh, pretty much all of us. And I guarantee you, if you don't train them in any way, they will devolve from discomfort to disorganized to disaster. They need a parent who loves them to train them in the right ways. This sort of training is crucial for your child to know and love God the right way. Train them. What's the most important way to train them? Well, the most important way to train them is to love God. Right? That is like literally the most important thing. Let's write this. Look at this verse. This is Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to read this again, and you're going to say of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's write this down. I must train my child in the ways of the Lord more than anything. More than anything else, they need to know who God is. You need to teach them who the Lord is and what God's ways are. Now, again, the two main words, training and instruction, for loving the Lord. Nothing else matters as much. That is your primary goal as a parent. Deuteronomy chapter 6 puts it this way. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. You train them. You teach them to your children. Talk, how do you do that? You talk about them when you sit at home. You talk about it when you walk along the road. You talk about it when you lie down, and you talk about it when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Okay, this is really cool actually. Tie them on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. This means if you're gonna teach your children about the Lord, you gotta live it and you gotta know it. You can't teach your child God's ways if you don't know God's ways. And you can't teach your child God's ways if you aren't living God's ways. By the way, I'm going to step out of the parenting thing for just 1 second. Okay, we're in a new sermon right now. By the way, when you go to the book of Revelation, and it says the mark of the beast will be on their hands and foreheads. It's not talking about a credit card or a stamp or a tattoo. It's talking about the way you live and the way you believe, the way you think. Way, way long ago, 2,000 years ago, a group called the Pharisees, they heard this verse and they said, oh, we have to have the word of God on our foreheads. So they literally wrote down Bible verses, made little boxes, tied them to their heads and put Bible verses in the boxes. They took it super literally, but that's not what God meant, was it? God meant, know what I'm telling you, know me, know my words and live it out. So back to this parenting seminar sermon. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Live it out yourself. Bind it on your foreheads. Believe it and know it. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What is this telling us to do? This is meaning everywhere you go and everything you do, you should be involving the Lord with your children. One time I was driving somewhere with my daughter, Macy. She was 3 years old at this time. And we talked about God a little bit. And then she goes, Dad, God knows everything. I was like, that's right. That's pretty good for a three-year-old. You know, does God know what's going to happen tomorrow? And she goes, yes. I said, very good. Does God know what you're thinking about? Then she thought about it for about 5 seconds. Dad, God knows what 3 + 3 is. Okay, what are we doing there? We're just talking about God and his words and his laws wherever we go. She didn't know it at 3 years old, but I was giving her a theological lesson about God's omniscience, about what God knows. Does he know tomorrow? Does he know your thoughts? And she was learning. Like, it's just a conversation, but that's how you do it. You teach them where you go and when you rise and when you sit. You just talk. Parents, If the most your kid learns about God all week long is right here from our Revo Kids teacher for an hour, they will not learn the true God's ways. If church is the only time your child knows about God, God will be to them exactly what you taught them. Something to do for an hour once a week as long as there are snacks. Selfish religion. I think we have an amazing kids ministry. One of the best in the world. The kids teachers we got here, they're top notch. They put in so much work. But it's the icing on the cake. It's not the meat. Parents, you got to do this at home. We're going to talk about this a little bit more next week. But the primary goal for any parent, let's write this down. The primary goal of parents is to lead their kids to love God. Circle primary. The biggest goal for you to have is for your child to love God. Listen, this is probably the most important thing you got to understand today. If you train them to know and love God, then they receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can continue to train them long after they've left your home. The Holy Spirit can be with them and guide them when they leave your home in the morning to go to school, and the Holy Spirit can teach them and guide them when they leave your home as an adult. And we're going to talk about this next week, by the way. That's what next week's going to be mostly about. But if you just want your kids to be good citizens, you're missing the whole point. If you want your kid to get good grades and make good money and be healthy, you've set the bar far too low. How can we train them for hours and hours in sports, hours and hours in school, hours and hours of screens, offer them the entire world, and then only give them 1 hour a week for eternal life? That's damning. That's not good. Yeah, we want good behavior from our kids. We want the right thinking, but after they love God. Because man, the Holy Spirit, he knows what your kids are doing more than you do. Do you know that? Like if your kid has the Holy Spirit because they believe in Jesus, when your kid goes to school, you can track them on Life 360, but you don't know what anyone else is saying to them. You don't know what the kids around them are doing, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit can help lead your kid in the ways that you've taught them to know God. So let your kid know and love God, and God can sort everything else out. One of the biggest problems we face is that we often want to be old school parents. And how did old school parents go? How were a lot of us raised? With the belt, right? I'm about to teach you a lesson, son. And like, sometimes we think this is how it's supposed to be. But what did the verse say again? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. This word exasperate in Greek, it's from a word that means provoke anger. Fathers, mothers, don't provoke your children. Your kids have buttons. Don't push their buttons, even when they want to. And sometimes I fail at that because let's be honest, it's fun to push your kids' buttons, especially when you're mad and you know what they are, but you can't do it. You can't do it. You want to be a trainer, not an exasperator. And you're going to be one or the other with every action you take, a trainer or an exasperator. Don't be someone who pushes them in ways that make them resent you. Let's write this down. Parents, do not move your kids towards resentment. Do not push them into anger. Now, kids are going to get angry. That happens. But you can't. The reason they get angry can't be because you were pushing their buttons. And let's think about how God treats us. God doesn't want to make us angry. That's not his goal. God never wants to push you into resentment. God loves you. Sometimes what God does makes you mad, but his decisions are for your best because he wants to train you as well. And I know what some of you are thinking. Someone's thinking right now, well, doesn't the Bible say, spare the rod, spoil the child? Actually, no. The Bible does not say that. That's an ancient Assyrian statement. You didn't know that, did you? The Bible never says, spare the rod, spoil the child. It does say something kind of close to it, though. Proverbs 13 says, whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. So we want to discipline them, but how do you do it? Carefully. So it's true, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but this verse doesn't say beat your kid, does it? That's not what this verse says. If you think that sparing the rod means that you should spank your child, okay, then I get it. But I want you to circle carefully discipline or write it down and circle that in your outlines. If you want to use this verse to say that you should spank, that's fine. I'm not against spanking, but it doesn't say you just wantonly hit the kid because you're angry. If you're gonna spank the kid, how do you spank them? With careful discipline. Like, I would suggest you sit down. You're gonna get a spanking now because of this behavior that you did. The right choice would have been to do this, but you've made the wrong choice. So you're gonna get one spanking, then you spank the child, then you remind them, I do love you, and this is for your good, because I want to make sure you don't do this again, right? It's like a careful discipline, not just beating the kid. Now, remember, there's two main words that we want to do when we're training our children, or when we're raising our children, train and instruct. Ephesians 6 says to train and instruct. What do those words mean? Let's write this down. Training is the Greek word for nurture. It means leading by your compassionate teaching combined with your own deeds and actions. So it's got to be the way you act combined with good teaching along the way. And instruction is the Greek word for verbal encouragement or warning. It's about using logic and calling attention to proper behavior. So I think about, how were you trained and instructed to ride a bike? Hopefully it wasn't like, sit your butt down. You better do it the right way or I'm gonna kick you. Like, no, that's not how you train someone to ride a bike. Right? You like, okay, put your foot over on the pedal. Yeah. No. That's the chain. If you put your foot on that, it'll hurt, right? Put your foot on the pedal. Okay, good. All right, now you hold on to these handles and I'm gonna push you. All right, you got it. Now listen, I'm gonna let go and oh, they fall down. Then you're like, man, why'd you fall down? You're like, you know what? Everybody falls down sometimes. Now if they get the bike and they turn on it and they start going and they run their brother and sister over, you'd be like, okay, we're gonna put the bike away for a while and you're gonna sit in time out, right? Discipline's okay if needed. But like the whole point here is to walk with them until they can walk on their own because you've trained them well enough. Are you following that? And this is what Jesus did for us too, right? When Jesus came to earth, Son of God comes to earth, he picks his disciples, he walks with them, he teaches them, he tells them how to live, he shows them how to live. He says, you gotta love your enemies. And then someone comes to attack Jesus and Peter cuts their ear off and Jesus is like, no, Peter, let's put that ear back on, right? Heals the guy. You remember that story, right? And he's like, Peter, it's time to put the sword away, buddy, okay? He actually says that. And then he's like, teaches them. And then soon the disciples are on their own and Jesus ascends into heaven and it's on them now. Our own actions train our children. When God wanted to teach us, Jesus took on flesh. Jesus did that for us. Man, how many times did the disciples mess up? A lot. If you read the Bible, it was a lot. But Jesus kept training them again and again and again. Someone says, how do you honor and respect your child if they don't listen, period? No matter how much you try to push them or guide them in the correct way, they don't listen health-wise or emotion-wise. How do you try and fix that? Exactly what we're talking about today. Now, it changes depending on how old they are and what you can do and what you can't do. And some of what we're gonna talk about next week is one problem parents have is when their kids are very tiny, they're very permissive. Oh, look at the little two-year-old. She flips someone off. He's cute, but don't do that. That's messed up. When your kids are little, you need to be very strict so that when they get older, you can take the rails off. You can take off the training wheels and they're free to fly on their own because they know how to do it properly. What people often do is they don't have strictness when their kids are little because they're cute. And then as the kids grow up, the kids are becoming disasters. And so then they try to box their kid in and the kid's like, what are you doing? This isn't how we do it here. And then the kid full on rebels. And so you need to be much more strict with your child when they're young so that they live the right way when they get old. Because if you wait till they get older to start this training stuff, you're in for a world of hurt, you and them both. And so if the child just doesn't obey at all, I'd suggest that possibly you've started training and disciplining a little bit too late. That's one possibility. But you really got to think of yourself as a trainer, most of all. And you gotta be, parents, sometimes you have to be the most persistent person in the world, especially if your kid is persistent. Some of you like will have a first child and they're like a limp noodle. They obey everything. They never fight back. You're like, I am the world's best parent. And then you have a second kid who likes to blow bridges up for fun. And you're like, what just happened? I was a good parent until this guy came along. And like, you have to suddenly parent differently. You have to be persistent. You have to never give up. You have to be on top of your game every single day. You got to start your day with prayer and ask God to help you, because sometimes there just ain't no other way other than being more persistent than they're going to be. All right, let's finish this up today. Parenting is not punitive, just like God isn't punitive. God promotes love and training in everything he does for you. Would you agree with that? God promotes love and training in everything he's done for you. Now, God's going to come one day as a judge. And when he comes as a judge, then his parenting is over for some of you. And he's going to come to punish. I hope that you won't just face God as a punisher, but that you'll give your life to him as a father. We want to think of ourselves like God. We are trainers. So write this down. I should parent to build up, encourage, disciple, and oh my gosh. And that's what it's to say, and not be punitive. Okay, you can write that down on your sheet too. And not be punitive. Suggestion. Here's what you can do. Make a list of parenting behaviors or consequences that we've given and decide if they were punitive or training or instructing. How can we do it better? So, you know, if you've disciplined your child in the last month or two, write down some of the discipline you gave them and ask yourself, was I trying to punish them or was I trying to train them? And how could have you done it so that was training and instructing instead of just punishing? Because you want to be a trainer, just like God is a trainer for you. Most of us need to think about the life of Jesus Christ a lot deeper, because some of you have been misinformed about who God is. For some of you, you had really bad parents who were maybe abusive, and so you saw God as harsh, or you saw God the other way, like your parents were mean, and so you thought God is probably okay with whatever. But God isn't either. God wants you to do the right thing, and he wants to train you to do it. Maybe today, for the first time, you're realizing, I've never really thought of God as my father and me as his child. Maybe today, for the first time, you're saying to yourself, I need to actually submit to God and say, okay, I am your child, and I'm going to obey, and I'm going to honor you from here on out, God. Because Jesus died for your sins. This isn't a joke. This is real life. You've done wrong, but God wants to train you in a different way. But first, you have to submit to him as Lord. Jesus lived, died, and rose to the dead. And you got to say, okay, God, I believe it. I'm yours. We have red cards in that chair in front of you. I would invite you to fill that out and put it in one of the boxes here. Let us know that you're making a decision to follow God, because you are supposed to be his child. And God wants to train you to be the person he intended you to be. So submit to him today. Let's pray. God, help us to be good with our kids, to be good trainers, good instructors, and not just angry. I pray that you'll help us and bless us with this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.